Jesus answering some questions from the Pharisees and the scribes. I'm going to read the passage there, beginning at the first verse, so you can get the background for Jesus' answer. Then we're going to take one verse there and use that as a springboard for a discussion out of the Word of God on this particular subject this morning. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brassen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. He said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. I want to read that 13th verse again. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your holy word which is inspired by the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, that all that we have read here this morning and all of that which we will see in the Scripture is God-breathed, the inspired, written Word of the living God. And I thank you, Father, for what you have caused me to see out of this passage this morning. I know, Father, that it's what you want brought before your people today. I thank you, Father, for the fact, the promise, that your Word will not return void, that as the Word of God is declared this morning, it will prosper and it will accomplish that which you have intended. Lord, I just yield myself as an instrument to be used by your Spirit today to bring forth the message from your Word. I pray by it, Father, that you would quicken the truth of this Word to everyone who's here today. I pray, Father, that by it you would cause sinners to come to repentance, and that you would cause those that belong to you to be nurtured and strengthened in the faith. I ask it in Jesus' blessed and mighty name. Amen. This may surprise some of you this morning, but it's a fact, according to the Word of God, that you have the ability to render God's Word ineffectual. You have the ability to render the Word of God ineffectual. Now listen to me carefully. Some of you would say, Vic, I'm not sure I believe that, because was not the world framed by the Word of God? Did not God speak, let there be light, and there was light? How can me, little old me, little old insignificant me, render the powerful, eternal, almighty Word of an almighty God without effect? Now, I did not say that you could destroy the Word of God. I did not say that you could break the Word of God. But you can render it without effect in your personal life. That is the kind of influence you have. That's the kind of power you have, and that is the kind of responsibility that your Almighty Father has entrusted you with. You have the power and the ability to render the Word of God in your life without effect. People will say, why doesn't so-and-so work for me? Why doesn't so-and-so promise out of the Bible? I see it in there, it's promised to me. Why doesn't that work for me? I believe the Spirit of God wants to show us this morning probably one of the most common reasons for why it doesn't work for me or for you. Jesus said, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. You can make the Word of God of none effect by how you believe, by what you say, and by how you act. If you listen to a person long enough talk, if you just listen to them talk, you can find out whether they're believing or not. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 34th verse, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to yourself and find out what's going on down in your heart. You listen what comes out. This is the mouthpiece of your heart. And what is residing in your heart in abundance is what boils out of your mouth. It just comes out. You listen to yourself. You'll find out what you're believing. Man's traditions, the Bible teaches us, are exactly opposite God's. I was marveling this week before the Lord even gave me this message, as I had opportunity just to talk to some folks, that people that I had never met before, people of the world. And I sat down, I was listening, and I was just marveling how opposite they thought. Everything that the world thinks is opposite to what God's Word says. Did you ever notice that? It's hard to talk to people that don't know Jesus Christ. You know that? If they're in your own family, this is why God wants our families to be one. This is why God wants our husbands and wives to not only be born again, but to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why God wants children and parents together in the same household, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be of one spirit. Because God's Word and the tradition of men are exactly opposite. When I first began to see what God's Word had to say about things, I thought, you know, this is funny. God's got it all backwards. God doesn't have it backwards. The world got it backwards, and until you know the Word of God, you don't know what right side up is. Most people live their lives upside down until they see the Word of God. When you get the Word of God operating in your life, then and only then do you have your life turned right side up. You'll be exactly opposite your unsaved boss. You'll be exactly opposite your unsaved mate. You'll be exactly opposite your unsaved neighbor. But there's nothing you can do about that. That's just the way it is. James said in the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, know ye not that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And then I like this verse in 1 John. It's one I'm going to have to memorize because it's a good one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the word of God abideth forever. They are opposites, but the good news is the ways of the world will eventually pass away, but he that doeth the word of God will abide forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And he that doeth the word of God will never pass away either. So many times I find that in ministering to Christians, I find that the reason Christians do not receive the promises that are clearly spelled out in God's Word is that they will not do the Word of God. They're so busy doing the tradition of men and not doing the Word of God that the Word of God is thus rendered of none effect in their lives. You understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you understand what I'm saying? Most of God's people are so busy living by the world standards and living by the traditions of men that they never have the blessings of God in their life. And then you hear them say, well, I don't understand that. Yes, I see that's what it says, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen to me. It doesn't work for me. Well, I pray that God will show us this morning why it doesn't work for you. And if you will do what the Word of God says for you to do, it will work for you today. Today! Today! It'll work. God's Word works. I declare that to you. It works. But it won't work if you've got it mixed up with the traditions of men, because they are exactly opposite and they fight one another. You cannot have the blessings of God with the world's traditions. It doesn't work. You can try all you want, but all you'll get is a pile of frustration. We must do the Word of God. Now let me show you something out of, again, in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. How many of you are familiar with the parable of the sower? Okay. I want you to see something in this parable today that perhaps some of you have not seen before. Mark chapter 4, beginning to read in the 3rd verse. Jesus beginning to teach by parables. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Then in verse 14, he began to expound the parable. The sower soweth the word. This is a parable that concerns the going forth of God's word. The sower sows the seed. Jesus said clearly that the sower sowed the Word. He sowed the Word of God. All right? As the Word of God went forth, in verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. There are some that will hear the Word of God, but the heart is so hard that after they have heard it, the seed lays up on the surface and the devil will come and steal the word. There are some that are sitting here this morning that are not paying any attention to what's going forth. The word of God is going forth here this morning, but there are some that are allowing Satan to take it away before it ever gets a root. And without the word of God operating in your life, you'll never receive the promises. They come by the Word, not by men's traditions. They come by the Word. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, that's good. Do you mean that I can have healing for my body? You mean God's Word teaches me that my body can be healed? Oh, that's good news. Hallelujah. I rejoice. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. By the time they get home from the church service and the husband says, what do you mean you were healed by the word of God? Now that doesn't make any sense. That's what we have doctors for. And when the persecution arises on behalf of the word, they cave in because there's no root. And the word of God is rendered of none effect in that life by the tradition of men. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Then there are those, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What you do with the word of God depends on what you receive. Jesus said that ye must be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And I want you to see what the Apostle James had to say on that same subject. If you'll turn it to the book of James. And this is where so many of God's people miss it. They'll come to a full gospel service like this. They'll say, praise God, I heard something today that I've never heard before. Jesus Christ not only died for my sins, but he's also died for my sickness. He not only died for my sickness, but he died for my poverty. He not only died for my poverty, but he died for my confusion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus meets all of my needs. But they never have it manifested in their lives. They have heard the word, but it stops there. And they expect that God's blessings are going to fall upon them like the rain falls on a garden. God's blessings don't fall like that upon people. His rain does fall on the just and the unjust. But show me in the Bible where it says that his healing falls on the just and the unjust alike. God's blessings are received by faith in his word. Not by faith in the traditions of men. And the traditions of men will keep you away from the blessings of God. If you stand on the traditions of mankind, you will be held apart from the blessings of God. And if you want the word of God to be effectual in your life, you must learn to reject the traditions of men and grab hold onto the word of God and do it. Otherwise, it won't work. It won't work. James said in the first chapter, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you hear the word and do not do it, you will be deceiving yourself. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Now listen to this. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you hear the word of God, and go away, and not do it, you'll be like looking yourself in the mirror. And when you walk away from it, you forget even what you saw. But, James said, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. And what is the perfect law of liberty? The word of God. This is the perfect law of liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and what? Continueth therein. Continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall have the promise of God received in his life. So many people, you see, come to full gospel services and full gospel churches because they know that healing is preached. They know that divine healing is preached by full gospel people. And they know that people come and are healed of physical infirmities in their bodies. And they come seeking that for themselves, and they go away disappointed. Why do they go away disappointed? Is it because God's no longer in the healing business? Is it? No. Jesus Christ hasn't changed any. They go away disappointed because they have heard the word only and have not done the word. Many of you that I know personally have had this very same experience in the receiving of the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you waited for a long time and heard the word. You heard about this wonderful blessing from God, that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would flow out of your innermost being with rivers of living water, that you would speak in new tongues, and that you would praise God in a heavenly language. And it was a wonderful thing, and it was something that you desired and wanted. And some of you went month after, like I did, month after month after month after month, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, and never having the word of God manifest in your life. Because you made the word of God non-effect by your tradition. The minute you got the tradition out of the way and went right to the word of God and did what it said to do, you received just like that. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
This is the truth, isn't it? That's the way it is. How many folks, and some of you probably in that same group, that you've seen go to altars in churches trying to get saved? Oh, I want to get saved. The conviction of God would come upon them. Want to be saved, go to the altar and go away unsaved. Why? Because they did not do the word of God. What does the word of God say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. All right, I want to make you some comparisons for you this morning. It's interesting, a couple of these things came up in Sunday school this morning. Men's tradition says you must be chosen of God to be saved. Men's tradition says God chooses those who are to be saved. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's word says that God is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Now, what are you going to have? The tradition of men or God's word? The tradition of men says that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away with the New Testament apostles. That the experience known as speaking in tongues is not for today, but it passed away with Bible times. And all supernatural manifestations and miracles of the Spirit also passed away with the New Testament apostles. That's men's tradition. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, which one do you want? Do you want man's tradition, or do you want the Word of God? Man's tradition says sickness and disability is a part of living. It's a part of this life. When you come into it, you can expect to have some of it. It's just part of living. God's Word says, I am the Lord God which healeth thee. I will take all of thy diseases away from thee. Himself bore our infirmities and took our diseases. Now, which one do you want? Do you want men's tradition, or do you want the Word of God? That's the choice, you see, that we have to make. Tradition or the Word. Now, I'm going to show you something this morning that is very important to doing the Word of God. Probably the most important thing that I know about doing God's Word, other than knowing what it is. Now, if you're going to do the Word of God, you first of all must know it. Turn to Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter. This is a subject, bless God, you can preach on for all day. I don't intend to, but you could. For those of you who are, a bit uneasy, I just want to let you know that I didn't intend to do it all day. But I want you also to know I could. Because God's Word is full of what we're talking about this morning. We're just going to get a little dose today. Man's tradition, are you at Mark's Gospel chapter 11? All right, the tradition of man says this: seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm from Missouri, brother. Show me. When I see the healing in my foot, I'll believe that I'm healed. When I see my cancer gone, then I'll believe it. When the doctor says I'm okay, then I'll know I'm okay. Isn't that man's way? Seeing is believing. You remember what I said earlier? That man's way and God's way is exactly opposite. They're 180. 24th verse. Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, God's word, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Man says that seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. God says that you must believe before you receive. Man says you receive first, then you believe. The reason that so many of God's people are not getting God's blessings is they are trying to receive them by the tradition of men. They're trying to receive them by, well, as soon as I can see it, then I'll believe it. Well, bless God, you don't have to believe it once you see it. Any dummy could believe it once you saw it. It doesn't take any faith. Well, I'm looking at the chair, for goodness sake, I know it's a chair. It doesn't take any faith for me to believe it's a chair. I see my sister here's got 2 feet. I can see them. I mean, I don't have to have any faith that she's got 2 feet. I can see them there. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And if you want to receive from God on the basis of God's word, you must reject the tradition of man, reject this old axiom that seeing is believing, and settle on the word of God that when you pray, you believe right then. And you'll have it. And you'll have it. And you'll have it. I'm going to share something. I haven't shared this with anybody. I'm going to share it with you today. And I share it with you by way of testimony. About a week ago, I began to notice in my left foot, just at the bottom of the ball of the foot. When I wake up in the morning and I put my foot on the floor, it'd be uncomfortable. Just be like a pain there. I didn't think too much about it, but it got every day. It was like that. It was a little worse every day. And on Friday morning when I got up with it, it was again, not real painful yet, but real uncomfortable. And I couldn't walk on it without giving it just a little bit of a gimp. And one of our brothers, he's not here this morning, but he was plagued by some kind of a bone spur or something that was on the bottom of his foot. Well, do you know what the devil put into my mind immediately on Friday morning? You got the same thing. You got a bone spur on the bottom of your foot, you're going to wind up in the hospital in order to get that taken care of because those things continue to grow. I said, devil, you take your bone spur, your garbage, and get out of here in the name of Jesus. I'm not taking that. God lives in my body, and you don't. Now get out of here in the name of Jesus. Saturday morning, I woke up, and it was worse. Worse. Now those of you who have believed God like I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. When I woke up on Saturday morning, it was worse. Not like this, when I was in my bare feet. And I said, now, devil, didn't you hear me yesterday? I told you to get out of here. God's touched my body, and you've not got any place in it. Now be gone in Jesus' name. And I went on and just walked like this. I mean, just like you walk, okay? There's nothing wrong with that foot, okay? But it hurt. Oh, it hurt. Oh, it hurt. I didn't tell my wife about it. I didn't tell anybody about it. When I woke up this morning, guess what? It's all gone. It's all gone, hallelujah. Jesus is the same today. He's the same today. He's the same today. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't tell you that so that you can see my faith. I'm not trying to share that with you. What I want you to know is that the Word of God works today. It works today on August the 20th, 1978.
I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what it is. God's word says that he meets all of our needs by his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't put any limit on that. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it will be done unto you. He said, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask that your joy may be full. He's the same Jesus. He hasn't changed any. God's word will work for you when you get the tradition of men swept out of the way and just believe God's word simply for what it says. I can see the man that we talked about this in Sunday school also this morning, about the man who was brought to Jesus and he was blind, he was deaf and dumb. And Jesus reached out and stuck his fingers in his ears. Like that. And he took some spit and he put it on his fingers. He touched it on the man's tongue. Now, do you know what most of God's people would do today if somebody tried to do that? As you get your fingers out of my ears. Or they'd say, don't you put that spittle on my tongue. You'd probably get a germ. Now we're all laughing, but is that true or is it true? You know it's true. But you know what happened to that man? His ears were open. The string of his tongue was loosed. He was able to talk and to hear. But God's people today would have walked away deaf and dumb because they wouldn't have let Jesus put his fingers in his ears or put spit on his finger and lay it on his tongue. How about the man that was blind and Jesus put spittle on the ground and mixed up some clay and reached up to put it in his eyes? Don't put that filthy clay in my eyes, Jesus. Just lay your hands on me. See? He said, no. Good, put the clay on. Jesus said, go wash in the pool at Siloam. He said, no, Jesus, I don't want to walk the pool, wash the pool at Siloam. I usually do my bathing down at Bethesda. He said, no, he went down to Siloam. He washed the clay off his eyes. Do you know where, how he came? Seeing. You remember the story about Naaman, the Syrian general? Great military man, conquered many kingdoms, but he was a leper. And he heard that there was a man of God in Israel by the name of Elisha, a great prophet of God. And he said, I'll go down and see and get healing from that prophet. And he came and Elisha sent word to him and he said, Naaman, go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed. And Naaman said, no, I'm not going to go down. I'm too important to go to the Jordan River. First of all, it's a Jewish river. Secondly, it's muddy. And thirdly, what I want the man of God to do is just to touch me. But Elisha said, no, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And Naaman said, I won't do it. I'm too important for that. And he went back home towards Syria, still a leper. But on the way home, he just began to think, well, you know, maybe I should just go and dip. It won't hurt too much. He went back to the Jordan River and he dipped in the river 7 times. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? He came out whole and clean, you see, because he was a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. And so will your results be if you will follow the same example. We want the Bible results today, but we don't want to do it the Bible way. When there's a call in church to come forward and receive ministry for healing, no, I think I can take care of myself. And we go away sick. When God's power is available to be received. Jesus said, be a doer of the word, and not just a hearer only. For when you're a doer of the word, you make the word of God effectual in your life. If the word of God, and let me just close with this, and this may strike you as hard, but it is the truth. And I would rather give you the truth than to give you something that won't help you. Rather than have you, boy, that Vic, he sure knows how to talk to us nice, and have you never get anything from God, I'd rather tell you what God's word says, and then you have to deal with it yourself. You and the Lord. If God has given a promise in his holy word, and it is not effectual in your life, don't be asking what's wrong with God. Don't be asking, God, did God really mean that? You be asking yourself, where did I miss it, Father? What's wrong with me? How come I didn't get that, Lord? What is it that I have to do? And if he tells you to go outside and run around the church 8 times and then stop at the flagpole and pant 3 times, then you do it. You do it. I'm sure the people of Israel thought it was kind of crazy when Joshua told them to march 7 times around the city. But they did it, and they blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down. You do the word of God. You just do it. Just do it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you just obey him like a child. You just do it. Be a doer of the word, and the word of God will work in your life. If it doesn't work, it's your fault, and it's my fault. Now, that may be hard for some of us to take, but that's the truth. Believe God. Act upon his word. Be a doer of the word. And thus glorify your Father who's in heaven as people see the works of God manifest in your life. Father, I thank you that you have given us a word, that you have declared your word simply to us for all that would hear. You said, my sheep hear my voice. We are your sheep, Father. We do hear your voice. And we will yield to that and obey it. I ask you, Father, by the power of your Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you for all of this flock, every one of us, that you would set the watchman at the doors of our heart and at the doors of our mouth, even your Holy Spirit, so that as we are allowing the tradition of men to interfere with the Word of God, that you would ring the signal in our mind and in our spirit so that we'd know what we're about to do. Father, as you do so, and as we are able to discern the difference between tradition and God's word, we will, Father, we pledge, make the choice to act upon the word of God. And we trust you to show us how to do it. Well, we ask you in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, did the word minister to you this morning? It sure did to me. I hope it ministers to you. Every time we get into something like this, it really helps me. I just pray that it helps each of you as much. God has so much that he wants to give each and every one of his children. And he wants to bless every one the same as the other. He doesn't have one blessing he's reserving for one child and not for another. All of God's blessings are given without respect to persons. And the reason that he's sharing these things with us out of his word is he wants us to receive. He's teaching us how to take his blessings. He's teaching us how to receive. Praise the Lord. Well, the greatest blessing that we've ever received is the application of the blood of Jesus. Is that the truth? The application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing but the blood that brings salvation to us.